We go down to Gillette Stadium where the OTAs are underway, and now the media people can leer in to what is going on. One of those who is got eyes on the scene is our guy Andy Hart, who joins us on the Harbor One hotline. Of course, Hart and Fitzy, also affectionately known as Fartsy, who are the hosts of the Breaking Boston podcast each and every day that you can get at WEEI.com. And, of course, Hart writes lots of football material there as well. Did you hear that Dante Scarnecchia, Hart, called in to check Fourier on veteran mindset for OTAs?
I did get a text about that and catch wind of that. So Scar put Christian in his place as
Well, not really.
He presented an opposing opinion.
Not really. I mean, the basis of it was like, don't listen to an old vet about OTAs because they naturally could give two craps about it. So it was fun, though. Well, it was exciting.
Along those lines, I think that'll be good news for Patriots fans when the attendance starts to come out and people like Judon and Smith-Schuster and Marcus Jones and Christian Gonzalez and Christian Barmore and all those guys aren't here. So if it's not the biggest deal in the world, I guess it's not a huge deal that they're not here, because as Bill mentioned many times in his press conference, it is voluntary. You don't have to be out here, so sky's not falling just yet.
Ooh, I'll tell you, though, of all those names that you mentioned, now, Christian Gonzalez, how allowed is he to participate right now? He's not officially signed yet, correct?
No, but he can sign a waiver. You can have guys participate without signing. But, you know, most of the rookies are out here. He is noticeable because I think he's one of those guys, if you're a media member, you know, we all saw that little 6-second clip that Patriots.com put out from rookie camp that everybody got all excited about, his length and how smooth he looked. You know, you want to see him out here and start to compete. I would say the same thing for Smith-Schuster.
Yes.
You know, he's not a rookie.
That's the one that bothers me, is that guy signed here. That's one of those where it's like, get your ass in there.
Right. And it's not the end of the world. Just like them losing a couple OTAs, not the end of the world, but it's a bad look. It's less than ideal. Like, you're trying to put in a new offense. You're trying to shake off whatever people think you were a year ago, and you lose a couple practice opportunities to do that. And for Smith-Schuster, you're trying to learn a new offense. You're trying to prove maybe you are a number one receiver for this team, or how you fit in with Parker and Thornton and those guys. And it's just not ideal to not have guys out here competing. But, you know, it is what it is, and that gives other guys opportunities and reps, and we'll see what they do with them.
You know, and not that anybody would remember this and come September, but you know, listen, I rip OTAs, but for new guys, like, they need to be there. Like, the new guys, right. Two guys that need – Schuster 1,000% needs to be there. He needs to sit right next to Mac. He needs to follow him to the lunch, and then he needs to see if he wants to hang out afterwards. Like, that is what he should be doing the first year. I'm not being exaggerated. That's what I would do. But the Christian Barmore thing is interesting, too. Like, is he old enough and mature enough to be like, nah, I'm good?
No, especially not after what I think was a relatively disappointing second season. You know, I had high hopes for him. I think a lot of people had high hopes for him as a disruptive force in the middle of the defense coming off his rookie year. And I still have high hopes for him in year three. I still think there's a lot of physical potential there and ability. But, yeah, all those guys. I mean, does Judon need to be here? Probably not. That might actually be a good thing if he's not here. So it gives somebody else reps in that position. I don't love that the offensive line isn't really here. No Andrews, no Mike Onwenu, who's coming off an injury, no Trent Brown. Like, that's going to be a competitive area where you have a new coach and a new offensive coordinator and a new scheme. And, you know, I'd like those guys to be getting as many reps as possible. But, you know, you can only evaluate and watch the guys that are out here. I will say the first couple things that stood out to me were a couple rookie things. Like, Malik Cunningham is a wide receiver. He's taking all his drills with the wide receiver. I know people want to spin him into some emergency third QB phenom Cordell Stewart, but looks like he's doing absolutely everything with the wide receivers. And then Marte Mapu taking reps as a linebacker right next to Jawan Bentley in a red jersey. He's coming off a torn pec in the pre-draft process. But I think that's an interesting one because we've seen Bill, you know, Cole Strange a year ago, like, you slot right into left guard. That's your position. And to see Mapu getting reps in the first camp that we're allowed to see out there, It certainly looks like a guy that Bill has intent on being a part of the middle of that defense.
Hey, Hart, how does Mapu look physically?
He looks like he fits in at the linebacker position.
Okay.
Now, it's always hard. Shorts and T-shirts. Some guys do stand out. Like, they got this guy Lumpkin, some, I don't know, journeyman tight end, big dude. When he runs over the middle, he just stands out as a big dude. Some of the corners, Speed, is it Isaiah Speed, the late-round pick, is a long cornerback, stands out. But Mapu did not look out of place. He looked like a linebacker next to Bentley. And, you know, I find that pick interesting. I still do. And, you know, and I was talking to your pal, Paul Perillo, and we were just talking about the Mapu pick and, you know, good pick, bad pick, will he be hurt, lower level, the whole transition, what position. And I was like, well, I mean, Bill's wanted to do this forever. I feel like Jordan Richards was supposed to be one of those guys, or Tank Williams, the veteran free agent years ago. Like, he's always had these guys that, you know, that those tweener athletes that, you know, and we see it with Duggar and Adrian Phillips in some of those roles. And I think Mapu is a bigger, better version of that as he starts his career.
So Gesicki's there, yes?
Yeah, Mac Jones, this is meaningless, so I don't want to pretend this is meaningful. But Mac Jones on a side field just threw him a ball like 5 yards away, 10 yards away. Not even in a drill. They were like playing catch. And the ball never even slowed down when it went through his hands. It was one of the worst drops I've ever seen in my life.
So
that's my first impression of Mike.
Okay, that's terrible. That is terrible. Is this on another field? True, but
still. He's a professional who makes his living catching the ball.
Were they over there playing catch on their own? And then Gesicki was probably saying, hey, let's see how badly I can drop this ball.
God love Hart.
No, they were not. That was not
what
they
were doing. That's a game that they play, Hart.
Isn't that
what badly can I drop the ball?
Isn't that what you and Wiggy did in BC?
Yeah, it's like that was inspiration for that whole drill. So you're not impressed by him.
You got replaced by a linebacker.
Not replaced by him. Hold on, wait. Not impressed by Gesicki. Haven't seen him run. Hadn't seen him move.
No, he has not stood out so far. I mean, I've seen him run. He's been out there. I got to tell you, Tyquan Thornton for first impressions has looked pretty good to me. Now the problem is, I thought Tyquan Thornton looked really good last August. You know, I think we can remember having conversations that how he looked like one of the more developed, mature rookie receivers since Deion Branch. So the season comes around and he really did nothing, and I was thoroughly underimpressed. But for his first day out here, Tyquan Thornton is impressing me. He's supposed to talk to the media afterwards. I find that interesting. I guess he's one of the four or five guys we'll talk to, along with Mac Jones, by the way. So you'll be having Mac Jones audio, Mac Jones quote coming out later today as we get into year three for him and how he's feeling under Bill O'Brien.
Oh hell, we're potting that. We're carrying that thing live. 1:30.
Hey, how many times do you think he says better? The word better.
Oh, you set the number and I'll take the over. I don't care what number you set.
Hart, what do you make of Bill talking about Mac? I do believe. Hang on, I think I wrote this down here where Bill said Mac works hard every day. Weight room, classroom, none of that has changed. He's now acknowledging that Mac is, like, on Earth.
Yeah, we've turned the corner. We had some of those low points at the owners' meetings and then that end-of-season conference call when he said he has the ability to play in the league. Now, we've turned a corner since then. Remember the draft press conference where he said he absolutely still feels the same way he did last summer about Mac? And I thought today was sort of a continuation of that. Now, the one thing I will say, it was totally focused on work ethic. It didn't say anything about production, ability, place with the team. It just said every day he works hard, whether it's weight room, classroom, or field. And, you know, maybe you could read something into that, or maybe I'm reading too much into that. But, yeah, he certainly praised his work ethic.
Okay. So obviously there's the work ethic there. So as far as defense goes, what about the young corners in their second year?
Well, Marcus Jones isn't out here. I haven't really focused much on Jack Jones. I will say the passing game has been probably favoring the offense so far. Mac Jones just did a Tyquan Thornton, a nice crosser that he turned upfield for a big game. So I haven't seen a lot of playmaking from the secondary so far, and they are going fast and furious, rotating bodies. And actually, I will watch Jack Jones right now. He's lined up wide left on your television screen. Ooh. Somebody in number 24 is in the slot. Mac Jones is in the gun, drops back. and they went to the opposite side of the field, so Jack Jones did nothing. Sorry.
There you go.
He's scaring them already.
Hey, Hart, have you got eyes on Keyshawn Boutte? Is he there? Is he doing anything? What have you seen, if anything, from him?
He is here, and I have not seen much from him. As I said, they're rotating through pretty quick, and he's definitely in the second-tier groupings. Like with Mac, it is your boy Gesicki, Kendrick Bourne, Devontae Parker, and Tyquan Thornton. Those seem to be the regular reps with Mac Jones. So I haven't seen a lot of booty reps. And quite frankly, I'm a little annoyed by the booty thing. Like these expectations that are being placed on him, I find really unfair. I mean, he's a sixth-round pick. He's not a first-round pick. He's not the guy who had 300 yards as a freshman. And I mean, these expectations that over or under 45 catches, like, how about you let the guy get into a preseason game first? How about you let the guy carve out a rotational role before we start talking about 45 catches as a rookie? I mean, that would be a really good rookie season. So, no, I haven't seen him stand out one way or the other. And quite frankly, that's probably where he should be right now as he tries to get his feet on solid ground here in Foxborough.
Okay, so we're talking to Andy Hart, who has boots on the ground out there watching Patriots practice. So I'm curious. So you just mentioned all the wide receivers, like what that group looks like. Now that it's official that DeAndre Hopkins has been released from the Arizona Cardinals, how do you feel, like just watching it in person, like how do you feel like he would fit in? Or do they need him to fit in?
I don't know if they need, quote-unquote, him. I still think I don't think receiver is a deep position for them. They have a bunch of guys that can compete for those top four jobs. Then I do think there's a fifth spot that's open for Booty or Demario Douglas or Trey Nixon or one of these other guys to earn a role. So, you know, if you don't have five sort of solid bodies, that's not overly deep, which is why I never – thought it made sense to trade Kendrick Bourne, that Bill Barnwell report that, they're probably going to trade Kendrick Bourne because they have a bunch of receivers. That made no sense to me. You don't have a lot of depth there. Now, Hopkins, I'm sure you guys talked about the comments. Ooh, that was a terrible throw. That was not Mac Jones. Bailey Zappe was just a terrible throw behind
the
tight end.
No, that Bailey Zappe. No, that has never happened. Strike it from the record.
That was not good.
Bailey Zappe has only thrown zip-zap passes that are complete to Matt Patricia.
Yeah, that wasn't great. But no, DeAndre Hopkins, those comments about, you know, from league executives, like that he's lost a step and he's not going to get open. I thought he was still productive last year, and without seeing him physically on a football field right now, what he exactly can do in terms of quickness, I think he immediately becomes your best receiver. And I still think they could use a high-end receiver. Now, I thought Bill made an interesting comment about, you know, I think he said there's no stars or starters out here right now. It's just about everybody sort of starting over. And it is funny because there aren't a lot of stars out here. With no Stevenson, no Judon, some of these guys, it's lacking of star power, but that's that big C word I think this team is going to rely on all year, competitive. And I think DeAndre Hopkins can still be competitive with the ball in the air to go get the football. He showed that late last year. You don't have to be a burner. Hell, Anquan Boldin made a career of it, right? You don't have to separate to catch a lot of passes in the NFL. So I just don't think it makes sense from his perspective. I have no idea why DeAndre Hopkins would come to Foxborough right now unless the Patriots give him significantly more money than anybody else. I think he ends up in either Kansas City or Buffalo or one of those other spots.
It'll be interesting to see how that market develops. Our guy Andy Hart is all over it, at Jumbo Hart on Twitter. Follow him on WEEI.com. And, of course, download the Breaking Boston podcast every morning with Hart and Fitzy. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next week.
My pleasure. See you, fellas.